We are grateful for your presence this morning. We especially welcome a group that's leaving shortly to go on the restoration tour. We're glad to have all of you with us this morning. If you have not looked on the front page of the Jackson Sun this morning, be sure to when you get home. There's an article featuring Brother and Sister Rogers. You'll want to be sure to read that. Tonight will be the last worship service before the graduation of our Fried Hardeman students. And I would ask you to make a special effort to be here. We plan a lesson that will be especially for them. And there will be a special program after our evening service that will be mentioned in the announcements this morning. And we hope that you will plan to be here this evening if you possibly can. I want to tell you just a bit about the last two gospel meetings that I've had. From time to time, I'll come back and report about a meeting where there have been many responses, and we're thankful for that. But the last two that I've had have been with churches that are small, about 30, 35 in attendance. And I guess every service, perhaps one that would not be, that every person present was already a Christian. I'm conducting a lot of meetings like this in which I'm trying to strengthen smaller congregations. And I'm finding a lot of churches like this just as sound as they can be, but not many young people. And they need a shot in the arm. And I believe that the meeting I had this last three nights up at Sharp, Kentucky, near Paducah, was a meeting where they're extremely sound. They are giving well. They're supporting a lot of things, but they don't have much of an opportunity for evangelism in the community. I've already begun talking in some of these areas with some of the men about the need of looking at mergers, bringing some smaller congregations together. As my work takes a new direction in the next few months, I'm going to be concentrating more and more in that direction. At this point, I have 41 gospel meetings scheduled ahead. I've scheduled seven more in the last 3 weeks. And if plans continue as they are, Judy and I will be living where we are, and my work for the Lord will be directed toward gospel meetings and strengthening smaller congregations, perhaps conducting some preacher training workshops in some areas with preachers who have not had an opportunity to go to school formally. And I wanted to mention that because of having so many visitors here this morning from different places. There may be congregations in your area that will need a gospel meeting, and I hope to be able to raise enough support that I can go even if they cannot support it all and still do the work of the Lord in this way. Keep us in your prayers and let us know if there are areas where we can help. Today is Mother's Day. Every day ought to be Mother's Day in a sense. We all ought to appreciate our mothers. We talk about them, and I think generally we do appreciate our mothers. I've noticed many times in watching ball games that when the camera will zoom in on one of the players that you can read his lips and he'll say, "Hi, Mom." I don't think I've ever seen one say, "Hi, Dad." There's just something about mother that's different. We need to be sure that we honor our mothers. My mother was 86, the 30th day of last month. She is in better condition health-wise than she's been in some time. She's just recently been on a trip with my sister and brother-in-law to Indianapolis and made it fine. I'm thankful for mother and what she has meant to me and the encouragement especially that she's given to me as a gospel preacher. I'm thankful for my wife, who's the mother of our four children, for the 45 years we've had together and what she has done as a mother. And I'm thankful for all of you that are mothers, most of you that I know personally and know the work that you do as mothers. I appreciate our younger mothers in this congregation. I see some of the things going on a regular basis that most of you do not get an opportunity to see. We have so much for which to be thankful when we think about our mothers and what they mean. As the statement on the front of the bulletin says, it is the hand that rocks the cradle that rules the world. We talk about the elders, we talk about the preachers, we talk about the deacons, and all of those are men according to God's teachings. And yet in reality, when you get right down to it, much of the growth of the church is dependent upon our ladies, and especially our mothers, who are teaching their sons and daughters at home, who are involved in our Bible classes here, who reach out in other ways to serve and to lead in ways that they respect the restrictions of God's will and yet see the opportunities that are there for them to serve. Truly, we need to be thankful. This morning, I want to dedicate our lesson to our mothers and use a very familiar passage of Proverbs 31. Back in the 30th chapter of Proverbs, verse 11, it says that there's a generation that doth not bless their mothers. And that was many, many hundreds and thousands of years ago. Certainly today we see many who seemingly do not bless their mothers. But I'm thankful that there are many in every generation who do appreciate and who bless their mothers. And I know of nowhere to go to help us to think about that in a better way than the story of the virtuous woman. I want you to look at it this morning with me in a way that may be just a little bit different. Usually we read this and we think of it in the sense of every woman, and it applies to every woman who's a godly woman. I want us to think about it today from the standpoint of mothers. I believe, first of all, emphasis is made in this passage of Proverbs 31 that this woman is to be honored. Notice, for example, that she's honored by her husband. He trusts in her, verse 11. He is involved in the community in his service, very probably because she stands behind him, verse 23. He's mentioned and is known in the gates, but notice his name is not mentioned. It is her husband that is known in the gates, which indicates that his work in the community is possible because, at least in large measure, of the support that she gives. And then in verse 28, her husband praiseth her. Doesn't say exactly how he praiseth her, but I believe that word includes more than just with words, that he praises her with words and with action. Simply says he praises her. He trusts her, verse 11. He praises her, verse 28. And his life is such that it is mentioned and being associated with her in verse 23. Notice also that her children praise her. Verse 28, her children arise up and call her blessed. That's just the opposite of what we saw of the generation that arose as described in the 30th chapter. I believe there's also an indication that the community praises her. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Notice that's the same language that's used in talking about the service of her husband. He is serving in the gates, but she is known in the gates. In other words, she is known in the community for her works. And so she is praised by the community. She is praised by her deeds, mentioned there in the word works. As I read that, I'm reminded of Dorcas in Acts 9, who had made garments, and those garments were being noticed and pointed out after she had died. Her works were literally following her even before she died, and certainly would follow her when she died, Revelation 14, verse 13. And she is honored by the writer himself here, as he mentions that she is above rubies, verse 10. She is a woman with strength, verse 25. A woman to be honored, verse 25. And a woman who is excellent, who excelleth them all, verse 29. So in the first place, there's a great deal said in this passage about the fact that this woman is to be honored. It ought to be the goal, I think, of every woman here to be like this model that is given in this passage. That's the type of woman that can easily be honored. And I have an idea that many of us this morning, maybe most of us, as we read and think about these points, would say, that reminds me of my mother. But in the second place, I want you to notice that this woman was one who also honored others. It was not a one-way street. At the same time she received honor and was deserving of honor, she was also honoring others. And that perhaps is one of the main reasons that she was honored so much. She honored her husband. She did him good and not evil all the days of her life, verse 12. And notice especially all the days of her life. At a time when we hear so many today, both men and women say, I don't love my spouse anymore, or I'm tired of this relationship, I don't want to be married anymore. This woman honored her husband all of her life. And she backed him in the service that she gave, going again to verse 23. We have said so many times, behind every successful man is a good woman. And there is so much truth in that, especially in this passage. I heard another wrinkle on that recently that will bring a chuckle, I think. Behind every successful man is a surprised mother-in-law. But truly, behind every successful man is a good woman. Where would we be, men, if it were not for our mothers and especially for our own wives that stand behind us as this woman did? She also honored her children. Look at some of the things that are said. She was concerned about them having proper food, verse 15. She wanted them to have the right kind of clothing, verse 21. She was interested in their protection, verse 21, and probably sacrificed and maybe put herself in harm's way if necessary to protect them. And she was interested in giving them the right kind of guidance. She looketh well to the ways of her household. She was not concerned just about somebody else taking care of them, sending them off to school to be taught, or depending on someone else to take care of their needs. She was interested in the ways of her household, and she looked well to that. In addition to honoring her husband and honoring her children, she honored other people. It's interesting that in verse 15, she had an interest in her maidens. Probably at this time, there was a servant relationship in many families. But she didn't look at these folks just as servants. She was interested in their welfare. At least those who worked for her and helped her in her business and maybe in her home. Verse 20 points out that she reached out to the poor and to the needy. I have an idea that she was one of those at that time who brought a dish with food, maybe more than one, when there was a death in the community or when there was sickness in some home. She was reaching out to the poor and to the needy. And I would guess also, by sort of reading between the lines in this passage, that some of these things that she made with her own hands, she made not just for her family and for her maidens, but also for those that were poor and needy. This woman was honored, but this woman also honored others. Why was she such a great person? What is there said in this passage that really describes this woman and helps us to understand how valuable she was? First, I would begin with verse 30. She had the fear of the Lord. Beauty is vain, favor is deceitful. I would guess that this woman was beautiful physically, at least to her husband and to her family, and probably to everyone. But that's not what was interesting, as the writer was pointing out. That's not what was emphasized. It was the fear of God that made her the person that she was. And that's where we begin, and that's where we get off. If we have respect for God, we can fit all these other things into the proper place. In the second place, she had love for her family. This woman is what we might call today a career woman, in that she had a business. She would go and buy merchandise and use it. But you just sort of see as you read this passage that she was doing it not just to be a career person, but to take care of her family and the needs that were there. She was dedicated in her service. You get the idea that she was not a selfish person. Almost everything that is said is pointing how she reached out to others. Instead of emphasizing what she was in the community, her husband is emphasized. Her children are mentioned. Others are mentioned. She was unselfish. She was humble. She was dedicated. But it's also interesting to note that she was a woman who had some self-respect. Look at the fact that she took care of her own appearance, verse 22. She would have not just appeared in the community in any slouchy way or in any way that would have brought reproach upon her relationship to her family. She was concerned about her words, verse 26. Her speech is mentioned. And look at her attitude in verses 25 and 26. An attitude described by the word joy and the word kindness. Joy indicating the attitude she had in her heart, and kindness, the expression of that attitude to others. This woman, as concerned as she was about others, seemingly was first concerned about herself, not in a selfish way, but that she might have the right attitude and the right perspective on life and have the right appearance and use the right words as she talked to others. And I think one of the characteristics here that really points out the kind of woman that she was, why she was honored and why she honored, is her willingness to work. Sometimes today we see men and women who evidently are interested in having things handed to them and seeing how they can get by with as little work as possible. But notice this woman. Virtue could be translated courage. Who can find a courageous woman? She was a woman of courage. She was one who got up early. You ladies know what that means, I'm sure. She was one who worked willingly with her hands, not grudgingly because she had to do it, but willingly because she had the opportunity to do it, to take care of her family and to take care of her others. And verse 27 says she was not idle. She was busy in her life. No wonder this woman was honored. And no wonder it is said that she honored others with her life and with her words. What a lady. The kind of ladies that we need today in our families. The kind of mothers that we need today in our homes. The kind of women that we need today in the church. May God bless our mothers. May God bless our ladies who serve Him so well. And may their tribe increase. In order for that to happen, we must get back to respecting that which is in God's Word in passages such as the one that we have just studied. There has never been a self-help book written that can help you to be a better mother than the Word of God itself, or to help those of us that are men be better fathers than the Word of God itself. There is nothing that you can do as a mother, as a woman, or as a person that will help you to be the kind of person you ought to be that's any greater than being a Christian. Not just wearing the name, but being a Christian. I believe if we took that description of the virtuous woman, the courageous woman in Proverbs 31, and analyzed it from another angle, that we would basically be describing a Christian life in service to God. That's what He wants, that's what He needs, and that's what you need. If you're not that kind of person, and today you need to be baptized into Christ to begin living for Him, or you need to come and ask for prayers to strengthen you in living for Him and to receive forgiveness, we encourage you to come as together we stand and sing. Bring Christ, Lord,
Your empty wasted years and your iniquities remember no more. Bring him your every care, if great or small, whatever troubles you.